This is the Pacifica National Board National Finance Committee for November. God, are we on the 5th?
Fourth.
There we go. November 4th. I'm jumping ahead. And it's probably about 6 p.m. by now. R. Paul Martin, Secretary. Summer Rees, Chair. R. Paul, could you please call the roll?
Okay. Please answer when I call your name. Alonzo Brown. Mike Jones. Alberto Guerra.
Present.
R. Paul Martin is here. Simon Pius. Summer Rees.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg. Oh. She was here a minute ago. Alex Steinberg.
Present.
John Wenger.
Present.
LeVarn Williams.
Present.
Bruce Wolf.
Present.
Okay, we have seven. That's a quorum. Let me ask Tracy Rosenberg, are you there yet? She was here before.
Well, she was there before, so I think she'll probably be back.
We still have seven now, so that's a quorum.
Okay, thank you, R. Paul. Okay, the proposed agenda for this evening is to do a review of the as-yet-unapproved budgets and have discussion on each one and signal area for a status update on where they're at and any issues concerning, you know, shortfalls and fund drives and how those may affect the budgets that we are approving. And I think we're going to go ahead and start with go from WPFW to WBAI and around to KPFK. And we'll start with LeVarn Williams to give us an update.
Let me get this so we have minutes later.
Yes.
So the
status update on the as yet unapproved budgets, which would be WPFW, WBAI, KPFK, and then of course the national office is trailing behind, waiting for the estimate on central services for all those. So an update. And I believe we have Berthold Reimers with us this evening, the interim general manager at WBAI, who's also assisting in the preparation of WPFW's budget. So we'll get a report from LeVarn Williams and Berthold and the respective treasurers and Arlene.
Shall I start?
Okay, so is there any objection to that proposed agenda, which we can change if something comes up? But okay, and hearing none, can you mark it as approved, R. Paul? Thank you. Okay, yes, please, LeVarn, if you would go ahead and start us off, that would be great.
Thank you. This is LeVarn Williams. This is just to give a quick update on where we are with our budgets for the year, the fiscal year 2011. And we are, first I'll go over where we are with KPFK. The last meeting that we had with the National Finance Committee, the KPFA, budget was approved. And there were some changes that needed to be made, and those were done by the treasurer, Simon Pius. He's not here this evening. And he forwarded those, that new template updated to us, and I forwarded that to the PNB just this evening or a few minutes ago. And I also copied the business manager and the interim general manager at KPFA, in addition to the national office staff, and also with Berthold Reimers, also continuing to do budgets and work with budgets and consolidate our budgets for us. So that's basically where we are with A. Are there questions?
Thank you, LeVarn. Yes, are there any questions?
Okay. If not, then I'll go I mentioned Berthold Reimers. So next I'll go to WBAI, and since Berthold is
I have a question.
Of course. John Wenger, go ahead.
Yeah, on the email list today, Simon explained why there was no salary information. And this is an ongoing issue for me. I requested on the email list that LeVarn sends a complete copy of the budget with all of the salary information, all of just everything, every single detail there is, to the National Finance mailing list so that we have our own archival copy, and we just need to have that for comparison's sake. And so that was my request, and so let me make it again. LeVarn, would you send that information to our NFC list so that we have it and it's not in a single place, only in the national office?
You know what, let me tell you what I'll do. You would like to see that. It is not on the. It is not on what I just sent. So I will have to get the copy that has the salary in there, because the copy that I have doesn't have it in there either. And Efren is back. He's out of town. He's away for the next today and tomorrow. So when he returns, what I will do is that let me throw it back to you guys. Instead of me making a decision, I just need everyone's affirmation that we should send out for each budget.
At this point, KPFA is not available.
And exactly. And at this point, the individual information for KPFA is not available at this time.
Okay, I think if I may.
That's the position with KPFA, but let me go to the other budget. Now, if your request is, let's get the information or have the committee here, the NFC, decide, do we send out.
Sure.
Or do we provide hard copies, or do we scan, or what should we do with the information, the individual payroll information by name? What does the committee want to do? How do you
thank you, LaVon. And I think if I may interject here, because it was an issue raised by R. Paul several meetings back, which I think dovetails in this, which the concern is from a foundation perspective of sharing personnel information is obviously the confidentiality and protection of those employees whose information is shared. Conversely, treasurers and P&B directors have a right to see all of this information. And I know that R. Paul had brought up the confidentiality issue of treasurers a long time ago. I think, and this isn't something that directly resolves this, I do believe that the treasurers have a right to see this information, and so do P&B directors. I do think it is probably helpful in terms of comparing apples, to apples and stuff, to see what people are paying station to station, and there may be cost of living differences, but to see even what positions exist and what they're being paid at each station, because there can be dramatic differences. But I think it's also legitimate to have those concerns about protections of confidentiality. I do believe that if the P&B doesn't, we have confidentiality, the ethics policy that people sign within committees for people who are on the boards, where the obvious punishment is you can be kicked off the board or punished in some fashion through censure. With treasurers who may or may not be a member of the board, those punishments don't exist except to be kicked off the NFC and to be removed as treasurer, which, is that penalty. But it does – I think this information should be available to everyone on the NFC, but I think it should be treated with the judicious caution and confidentiality that it deserves. And with that, perhaps it would be it's kind of after the fact, but I don't know that there's any standing policy that treasurers sign these confidentiality agreements on a regular basis at each of the stations. I mean, I've signed multiple agreements by now on different subjects in different committees, but maybe I could poll the group, and if everyone has signed such an agreement regarding information that, it's sort of presumptive. We have, executive sessions, but I think that's always the concern, is because it's, employment data. But I'd be willing to put it forward as a motion to get the body's feeling here at the NFC. Does everyone wish to see this data because it helps them in the preparation of their budgets? And
put me on the queue.
Is this Alberto?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, I was trying to articulate things that I think are of concern, why there's sometimes resistance to this as well. And I'd like to address all those concerns, but I do think information sharing is highly important when you're in this kind of role. Go ahead, Alberto, please.
Yeah. A quick question. LaVon.
Yes.
There in the budget that has been put out just a few minutes ago to the National Board, am I to understand that there is just one number for staff salaries? How is that template that just went up for the board? How is it broken out?
So it has on the sheet where it has individual salaries, it has either numbers or some other type of symbol in there. It just doesn't show it, or it has letters or something. It just doesn't show it. It doesn't show the numbers. It has symbols or whatever in there.
Okay. So like the individual staff persons, they're shown you know, it's the manager, business manager, news director, all of those exist, but there is no number connected to that particular job description.
They're like, yeah, they're like symbols or whatever in there.
But they're not numbers.
They're no numbers.
Okay. But at the end, at the bottom of the salary page, there is a composite that shows all of the salaries coming in together at the same time.
Yeah.
Okay. To wrap up my part on this stack here right now, I think that if John would like to get it, I think he should get it. I would not like to get it, and I think that I should not get the information. But I think John should get it because it will serve him. And that's my position on it. And I'd rather that I not get the salary breakdown because it doesn't serve me any purpose. And that's just one more electronic document that might be flying around that I would not like for it to be flying around. That's my position. Thank you.
Thank you, Alberto. It's a limited distribution to those who request it, which is another viable mid-ground. Other people on the staff?
Our Paul,
please.
Okay.
John Winger, Q.
Of course.
Okay. Some institutional memory gets slipped, I guess. 7 years ago, more than 7 years ago, PNB ruled that the way, like for stations, the way LSBs would handle salary information was that the treasurer got the raw information, you know, what the actual salaries are, and the treasurer was then to take those real numbers and fudge them up somewhere within $3,000 of each of those lines, each individual, and those sort of fuzzed numbers were then what could be given to the LSB in confidence. So clearly within that, the PNB intended 7 years ago, and the policy is still there as far as I know, that the treasurers have to be able to get the raw salary information. In fact, the treasurers are the only people on the LSB who should be getting the raw salary information.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other issue of sending it to the NFC, I think governance does need to have some sort of historical record.
Oversight.
Time and again, you know, we're on various committees, and people say, well, wouldn't it be a good idea if, and, you know, you have to pipe up and say, well, we already have that, but this happens a lot. And for finance especially, it's, you know, somebody will come up with, gee, did we ever get a grant from those Heath people? You know, long story there, which should be posted somewhere and should not be forgotten, because that's the other thing is sometimes in a committee you're going to end up with people who, you know, nobody was there 7 years ago, so nobody remembers it, and nobody knows exactly how this is supposed to work. So on the treasurers getting certainly their own station salary stuff, that's already PNB policy. And two, I think it's good for governance that there be records of these things, not just salaries, but everything in the budget, because we may all not be here in a couple of more years, and other people will be here, and they're going to want to say, what were they doing back in, 2006? What was the budget like then? And, you know, something might come up. So I think institutional memory is aided when we allow some of the information to be out there. So that's what I think.
LaVarne on the stack. I need to make a correction on the KFA one.
Okay, sure. Do you want to make the correction, and then I'll go to John Wanger?
This one, it does not have any of the names or anything. It doesn't have the symbols in the row. It just has the totals on KFA. Sorry about that. On the others, we do have it where it's like, and what the salary numbers are, we have.
Okay. Are you done, Omar?
Uh-huh. That's it.
Okay. John?
Yeah, two major points. The first one is institutional memory. Our Paul said it very well. We flat out need to have an institutional memory of all this information, and it needs to be in a place that is robust against single points of failure. So if a meteor hits the national office, we need to have it on an email or somewhere else at the National Finance Committee where it's not all wiped out by a meteor wiping out the national office. It's got to be in multiple places. It's got to be secure because I fully support keeping the information secure, but it has to be archived in multiple places so the institutional memory does not die due to a fire or an accident in a single place. Point two is I have no desire to divulge the information. I only wanted to look at the Berkeley budget so I could look at their news department and, in fact, their past news departments, because KPFK would like to bring back a news department. We're a public affairs radio station without a news department, and it would be useful to look at prior budgets, for example, our own, but they're denied us, and we don't have them in the institutional memory. And Berkeley has one, but that's not being allowed. We're not allowed either. So no other station has a news department. So either we invent it from scratch out of whole cloth, or we just – and waste a lot of time. So those are my two points, and that's – and I'm done.
Thank you, John.
Correction. WBA has a news department.
Is that Bertel?
Yes.
I'm sorry. You say WBAI has a news department?
Yes. It's small, but we have one.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'd love to see the budget for it.
Okay. I don't think a motion is necessary on this, LaVarne, because it is P&B policy. Obviously, directors get to see all of this stuff, and the treasurers get to see it, and those are the only members that comprise the NFC other than yourself. So I have two suggestions. Now, it may be easier just to send out the information attached to a template, or you could send maybe an email with all the comparison data between them. I don't know how the treasurers want to see it, but do you mean if you're concerned about it inadvertently being attached to a version of a budget that somebody might inadvertently forward to someone and it has salary data? I mean, I think you could specifically mark the, you know, any documents that have that salary data with the big fat confidential at the top, you know, and, anyway, I think, but it does sound like, and only Alberto does not want the information, but it does sound, I mean, I agree with the institutional memory issue. It's one of my biggest problems with the network is on many, many issues, we don't really know what's been done before us.
Can I make a suggestion?
Please, go ahead, Alex.
Instead of sending the salary data in machine-readable form, you can send it as an image. That would cut down a little bit, at least, on the possibility of someone accidentally forwarding it. I mean, they can still forward it, but it wouldn't be machine-readable. They'd have less reason to do so.
Well, that's
I want machine-readable so I can copy and paste it into a KPFK budget and change the names. I want something I can work with. I want to save time.
Well, it seems to me, LaVarne, however, I think it would be acceptable to send all five stations' salary data in, you know, one comparison email or to send the individual budgets with that information attached. But I would say, however it's done, that it needs to be clearly marked up at the top, confidential, do not forward, National Finance Committee only, you know, type of thing.
And a couple of cases, I just plain do not, I mean, the information is not available, you know, we have at this time, like KPFA.
So, okay, but as soon as it is available, or, you know, for some of that, I think when some of what John was looking for.
Wait, don't tell me. Who wants to receive this information?
I would like to receive this information. I know John Wanger wants to receive it, and I think our Paul's point was well taken, is that some of this should reside with the National Finance Committee as a permanent record so that people in future, you know, seasons can refer back to previous realities. And that would hold true with KPFA as well, to take a look at, say, their salary, the budgets for, you know, last year and the year before. Even though those salaries are undergoing reduction, it would give an idea of what was involved in various departments, you know.
So I have two people, and I need to have it, make sure it's on so we have a server here in addition to on my computer that I set up to put this information on. So that's already set up. And so I'll give you the address of that. And then Summer John to see the payroll that we do have.
And does anyone else specifically want to see this, R. Paul?
Yes, we should. Let me make one very short historical
Please.
Memory point. I remember a few years ago.
LaVarne.
Okay. There's several things going on here, I think.
Yes, I hear various things.
There was a problem where the national office suddenly discovered that their their database crashed. And when they went to back it up, they discovered their backups had been corrupted for the past 2 years or something.
Oh.
And so the stations had to send in the information. They had to reconstruct it pretty much by hand. And I know at BAI, we didn't have anything electronic. And so people had to take out printouts of paper and start typing the information in.
Wow.
To send in for, you know, the past couple of years. And that took months and months of extra people typing. So...
Wow.
Yeah, single point of failure is an issue that we've already hit once.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, that's really important to know. It also shows the importance of having hard copies of things as well. Is that John?
Q.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the single point of failure issue is paramount. We need to, look, if we're governance and we have a National Finance Committee list and archive, we need to put it in our own archive. And that doesn't stop the National Office. The National Office should keep a second copy. You know, I believe the archive is on Yahoo, right? And so Yahoo's got multiple backups and stuff, so it's probably pretty robust. It should be marked confidential, and we need to archive it in multiple safe places. I'm done.
Thank you. Well, I would tend to agree with him. So, I mean, I do think, LaVarne, with as long as it's marked, you know, as, you know, highly confidential, you should probably send it to the National Finance Committee list, and then R. Paul, who is a gem of both institutional memory and posting stuff to our National Finance Committee list, can put that information there, because only people who have that, and that's why I say it should be clearly labeled as confidential, so somebody doesn't inadvertently forward it. And I would suggest that people who don't want it just go ahead and delete it from their system, so it doesn't, accidentally slip out.
Perfect. Okay, so I'll look at tomorrow. We're talking. I'll go over in terms of how I can send it out.
Right, or if there is a separate, you know, place that it's archived at, but whatever, somehow in that fashion, so that it's also preserved, you know, historically.
Except I've set up in for finance only, for viewing. And
right.
Set up to look at the budget, so I can give you that information, and I'll send that out to where you can.
LaVarne, one other suggestion.
Huh?
Since we have a Yahoo group list, you can simply upload it to the files section without actually emailing it to anybody, and then anyone who wants to can simply go to the file section and view it from there, or even print it off.
Oh, I think that's a marvelous suggestion, Alex. Oh, LaVarne, I think that actually should handle most.
Even better.
Even better, because it doesn't get emailed to people who might accidentally hit forward when they're trying to forward another document. Only those people who want to access it will access it, and it'll live there historically. And R. Paul, you could assist with any of that. If I don't even know how to frankly upload a document, which is just sad and pathetic. But I'm sure I could figure it out if I sat there. But if there's any issue there. I think that would be fantastic, and that would resolve most of this, so it isn't just kicking around in people's emails. And is that satisfactory to the body? Because I think that would resolve most of our concerns that it might end up stray somewhere.
Yes, sure.
Okay. LaVarne, does that sound reasonable to you?
Well, you know, like I said, I also have a drive set up here for those types of documents, too. So
I think our Paul can...
I'll talk with R. Paul in terms of uploading, because I don't even know my Yahoo.
Yeah. I'm in the same place. I'm like, okay.
Well, we'll do that. And the information that I do have, I can do that. Information that I don't have and it's not available, I can do that.
You have to be very nice to your wife when you get home.
Okay. And perhaps you could, if it's possible to upload last year's data for stations, that would be helpful to people also, because at least we have the data on that, if, you know, maybe in two separate steps, so it's not overwhelming, but that might be, as part of that historical record thing, would be helpful. So, and that resolves also the issue of, you know, hard drive failure, single point of failure. That way it's uploaded to our document group, too. So, okay, very good. If you'll interface with R. Paul on that, I think that should help resolve those issues. Is there anything further on this subject, and we can move on? Okay. All right. I guess let's move over to WPFW and WBAI, since I know we have Bertolt on the line. It's getting later. Does that sound reasonable, LaVarne?
Yes, oh, let me just go over WPFW. We've had this assignment to put it onto the template so that we can consolidate at the national office, and so that the information will be there in a format so the National Finance Committee can review it and compare it to what was provided by the other stations. And Bertil has been working on that diligently, and so where we are today or tonight with that, Bertil will let you know. Now, if he would so kindly do that for us.
Okay. So I'm going to talk a bit about PFW. So all the entire assumption sheet has been transcribed to the new template. The revenue is set up properly with all the fundraising and all that stuff, feeding into the cash flow and into the budget. The payroll data entry has been entered, just kind of reconciling the payroll taxes and pension so that it can go into the budget side of it. And when that is done, all we need to do is enter the detailed expenses. So we need a general ledger printout from PFW to put the programming expenses, you know, for new stringer services and all that stuff. And that budget is basically done.
Now, I'm sorry, you said the information you need now in order to put it in the template is what?
Is I think the general ledger printout of from last year's, you know, things like the telephone expenses, postage, bank charges, that kind of stuff.
We'll print it out tomorrow and we'll print it out tomorrow, scan it, and send it to you as early as possible tomorrow morning.
Yeah. So once I get that, you know, it's another 2 hours and the budget will be done.
Okay.
Like 2 hours, you know, data entry, probably another 30 minutes reconciling to make sure the cash flow goes and then the reconciliation, you know, flows, and then we're done.
Okay. So we'll talk. I'll send a note to Robert now. So I don't know if Bruce will be available at that point, but I'll send a note to Robert and Bruce. And you think maybe by noon tomorrow, noon my time?
Absolutely. I mean, if we get this information 2 hours to plug it in, and then as you know, LeVon, I would probably be calling you because there's going to be this back and forth questions and answer with Robert or Wes, and you know, it'll be done.
Okay, so I'm sending a note to Robert and to Bruce, and I'll send them what we have now, and I'll tell them that this is what we need and what you're working on, and that we're shooting for noon Pacific time. So the question, Summer, with you is that, or with the committee is, do you, after we do this, the numbers are the same, they've checked out, we're prepared to, no, we still haven't approved it by the NFC. Did we get like some type of
I'm sorry, some kind of what?
And it's some type of like approval. No, we didn't approve it.
No, we didn't. We were just waiting to have a final finished version to look at. I think though, if it's this close to being finished, we could approve it certainly at the very next meeting if it could be just sent out to us as soon as it's done, you know. It sounds like it's just about done, correct? So, and have you heard back from the union on these issues, Arlene? Has that all been resolved, or is it still pending?
We've been working with Robert on that. There are a couple of questions. They came back with questions, information they wanted. Robert has pulled some of that information. He has pulled it together, and his HR person to pull some information together. I have information that I've sent to him concerning. So so what we have to do is get with Robert and go over the package together, what we're submitting to the union to make sure they answer their questions. But I think that this union, they understand, they have some concerns. They want those concerns. They want it
addressed. Okay.
And that's what we are providing to them. We have pulled it all together. I talked with Robert yesterday, and he said that he was just waiting for his HR person to go over some of the stuff that he pulled together. And so we're about there in terms of answering the union's questions.
Okay.
Could I just jump in there for a second?
Please, go ahead, Bruce. Yes, please.
Because we just had our finance committee meeting last night, you know, and Robert is part of that. And just to elaborate just a little bit, the picture with our union, you know, dealing with it isn't completely smooth. And I just want to throw in here that the problem is that the union has attorneys, and that's who they're sending to talk to Robert now. And on our side, we don't have a labor attorney sitting with our side, so that Robert is being put in a position of their attorney saying this is the way it's got to be, and he doesn't know necessarily whether that's correct or not. Our committee urged him last night to not let the union side drag this out any further. We're already beyond the time when we should have already been at the reduced hours, so we're really already technically spending money that isn't in our budget. And so we really want him to move ahead and do the reduced hours, and he'd like to do that too. And it's just, I'd like to make the point that in these situations, I don't know how we can do it, but we really need labor law assistance at the when these kind of things come up, so that it's not a one-sided battle.
Thank you, Bruce.
I'm just throwing that out.
We've been giving some assistance and referring it back and forth to attorneys, and we've been dealing with some of it, Bruce. So we've been communicating pretty regularly. I met with those attorneys when I was there, and no, I'm not an attorney, but I think we've been pretty on top of her questions. We've got a last set of documents to get back to them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're in okay shape.
Okay.
Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Arlene.
Quickly, I didn't know Bruce was there. So are you going to be available tomorrow morning to do some reviews with us?
Oh, yeah, I could be.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So I believe our next meeting is, is it the 16th? 15th?
1-6, the
16th. Okay, that's what I thought it was. All right, you know, which is not that far off.
10 days?
Well, 10 days, but, I mean, we do, again, there has to be some sort of written template for us to approve a budget, no matter what's presented orally. We have to have something to look at. So if it sounds like you're on target for getting the rest of, you know, the nuts and bolts issues finished, if it's possible that budget can be sent out to us as soon as it is, you know, hammered out this week, early next week, so that there's some time to review it, and that's the top of the agenda for the very next meeting, and hopefully we get that, you know, approved. And maybe, I mean, if it is 10 days off, maybe WBAI's budget could be approved that day also. I mean, you know, I'd like to knock out the rest of these budgets in our next two meetings if there's any hope of doing that. So. Does that sound reasonable to you, Bruce and LaVarn, in terms of putting WPFW at the top of the agenda, and LaVarn and Bertolt, that we get a copy of that that budget sometime like early next week?
Yes, because
we'd like to do.
And then I guess Bruce can look at it or review it with, if he has to talk to LSB or whomever he would need to speak to about it again. But we're shooting for completion by tomorrow, and then you guys can review it more thoroughly over the weekend.
Okay. So does that sound reasonable to everyone? I don't think we need a motion on that. I just want to schedule our next business that we get
sure.
this one approved.
Okay,
very good. Why don't we go on to discuss a little with WBAI, since we still have Bertolt on the line and Arpal and LaVarn. Who wants to start off here first?
Well, I think I would leave the honor to Arpal first, and then he can let it. No, I can fill in.
Okay, Arpal, would you
Arpal,
like
to that sounds right.
Oh, well, me first. Okay.
there you go.
I guess
it's up to you.
Okay, I guess the update is what I've said before. We attempted, basically, we have, in the finance committee, we went over it and over it, and a lot of back and forth, and some numbers changed as a result of the dialogue. And we were ready to present it in the middle of October, but the LSB voted not to do that. The next LSB meeting is on November 10th, which is next Wednesday, and we hope that we will be able to present the FY11 budget then. One thing that we have to keep in mind, though, is that we've just had a our on-air fundraiser, our fall fundraiser, and it came in short. So I think we'll probably be discussing the shortness of that particular thing and how it will affect the FY11 budget on November 10th. But that's what I have to say.
Thank you, R. Paul. LaVarne? Bertolt, any update?
Bertolt, any update on
that? Bertolt? Oh, yeah. Well, the update is, we are about, well, it depends on how you're counting it. Our goal for this drive was $850,000. However, in the budget, it's $750,000. So we are $125,000 short right now. Gross, which is equivalent to a 76% fulfillment rate, about which is equal to $95,000 cash, short in cash. So that's where we are right now as far as that part is concerned. And then we plan on making that up with fund drives, more fund drives or whatever we have to do. However, just a general idea. Our listener-sponsored budget, we are projecting $2.293 million, which is like $32,000 short of last year's budget, $2.3 million. Donation below $1,000, we are projecting not much of that. 241 as opposed to 9,600 from last year. And so in total, our income, we are projecting $3,250 of revenue versus $3.179 million last year. So we are projecting $179,000 of less revenue this year.
Okay, and does that contemplate payment of central services, or still not contemplating payment of central services?
Now, this is just income. That does not contemplate payment of central services. We have something we started here called the WBAI Buddy, which is basically based on Arlene, I think the director's ideas on how WMNF has a system of I think at MNF they call it Circle of Friends. So we started a buddy system at BAI where we are going to ask members to donate $5, $10 a month regularly to an EFT payment. We weren't too successful getting it this time around in the middle of the fund drive, but we realized that we cannot do that through the fund drive. We probably have like a good 40 people giving about $10 a month to the buddy system. We are planning on building on that. And that income is not included in money we're going to make to that budget. So any money we make to that, to the BAI buddy system, would be extra cash. And then we're trying to build that up, you know, every day we're calling people and asking them to join the buddies. Any invoice or premium we send out, we send a leaflet asking them to join the BAI buddy system, and then we will report on that. We have also planned to have a series of lectures by Gary Noll throughout the Tri-State metropolitan area, which will be fundraising lectures that are also not included in the budget. But we could not put them in the budget because this was not official yet until yesterday. So hopefully all this extra money will go towards staying in central service. We don't want to project and put it in the budget because we've never done them before. So we wanted to leave it as is.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Bertolt. Okay, I've heard a couple of voices. Was the first one John Langer?
Alberto.
Alberto, okay. And who is the next one after that? Okay, well, go ahead, Alberto.
A question. The question that I have is, we're hearing from Bertold the projected incomes. What is the expense side of the budget? How much money are we talking about on the expense side of the budget, and in relation to the on-air income that is projected?
Okay. The total expense, salary and related expenses, is $1.3 million this year as compared to $1.4 million last year. So we have a cut of $88,000, or 6%. Board expense, it's an increase of $88 million. It's $1.3 million last year versus $1.4 million this year, which has to do with now we're having a full-time general manager or interim general manager. As of last year, we only had that for like 7 months of the year and so on. For board expenses, we are reducing that by $54,000. Administrative expenses is increasing by $45,000. Programming expenses increasing by $16,000. Development expenses by $72,000 because we're having more events, community events and stuff like that, so therefore we're spending more money to make money. And community events, we're increasing it by $24,000. So we are increasing our expenses by $192,000 or 6% from $3 million to $3.2 million about. So we are increasing it by about $192,000.
So the expenses pretty much are equaling the income, am I correct?
Yes. Yeah.
And in that income and expense, there is no central services figured into that, those two basic numbers. Am I correct?
Yeah, there are no central services. Although in the month of October, we paid some central services, and your phone can elaborate on that.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. Elaborate what on the central services?
In
October, we did some, pitch in, did some expenses for central service.
Okay.
Yeah. I think LeVon has to reconcile those, and then she will put it, properly in the budget.
Contribute to central services because, as we know, we have major payables here at the national office, and we have to get funds paid. So we've got funds. Berto had cash at the time, so we got cash from him. That was really part of his central services for that month. So he paid some.
Madam Chair?
Yeah, both do. That I need to get cash. I spoke with it for cash. But let me just tell you, we're expecting PPP funds next week.
Okay. Thank you, LeVon. Alberto?
Yeah, I mean, income and expenses on any one of our signal areas includes the 19.2 percentage points for central services. And that's a big chunk of change. That's about one out of every $5. And man, I need to just stress that out. There's nothing much we can do about it, but it's obvious that the organization cannot continue working without central services to pay Democracy Now and to pay the insurances and all of the other shared maintenance stuff that the network requires. And I'm not even going to go there. I'm just saying we cannot have a budget that doesn't include the payment for central services. Just to point it out. Summer, you brought that point several times before, and I'm not challenging. I'm just saying we're in a heap of trouble, and we need to work another system that's a little bit more generate a money producer.
Thank you,
Summer.
Albert.
Go ahead, Alex.
Thank you, Alberto. Go ahead, Alex.
Okay. WBRI fully intends to make its payments to central services, but we do have some peculiar situations here. First of all, you all know that we have this incredibly exorbitant rent that we face, unlike other stations. We also have a huge bill to pay for our antenna on the Empire State Building. So we face some major challenges in that area. Also, on the revenue side, this is still a work in progress, so we couldn't really put it into the budget yet, but we do have some very ambitious plans to raise the revenue. What Bertolt spoke about, the BI Buddy thing, that's just one element of that. We're making some very significant programming changes that we expect will lead to a significant rise in our revenue, and that's where we hope to get the bulk of the contributions to pay central services. But I don't think we could put any of that in the budget, and also grants. I don't think we could put any of that in the budget at this point because, as I said, it's a work in progress.
Thank you, Alex.
I'd also add further that for car donation, we are conservatively projecting about $47,000 this year. And if LeVon forwarded to the group, we have been working with the car donation group, and then we are working on promotions, and they're sending us about 10,000 book dividers that we're going to put inside every mail, piece of mail that we send out to promote the fact that we do have a car donation recycle thing. Also, our website was not linking properly to the car donation thing, but right now, instead of sending a member to their car donation site, we have information where the member can put their information in our site and link it to the site of the car donation. So it's easier for someone to go and donate their car nowadays through the website than it was before. So again, that I do not expect. I do not know how that will work, so we don't want to project any higher income on that. But we know that LA and other places, they make a lot more money. And then we have also many cars going on the air advertising car donations that we never used to have before in the past.
Thank you, Bertolt. Other people from staff have some questions that I would like to...
Can I make just one comment?
Of course, Alberto.
On $3 million worth of income from listener support, just for us to nod on it, it's just under $600,000 worth of central services.
Yes.
That's a chunk of change.
Thank you, Alberto.
Thank you. Thank you.
I guess I'm going to pick up where Alberto left off. I personally am not comfortable with passing yet another New York budget that doesn't contemplate central services, because it is one of the primary things that puts the rest of the network into jeopardy frequently is this need to subsidize all of these fixed expenses for New York. I mean, healthcare benefits for employees in New York are healthcare benefits for employees in New York, and the fact that everyone else is having to pay for them is kind of... it's beyond discomforting. It's really not right. I mean, we voted down... KPFA spreading out their central services over 3 years based on the fact that you've got to pay your central services. I am more comfortable with putting them into the budget and, figuring out what you really think these things are going to be bringing in, listing them as a bill back to the national office. I mean, it's just, to me...
The health care is a bill back. It's not the central service.
Okay. Well, I don't want these to disappear. Like, this is the only station in the network that the entire time I've been on the board every year gets a budget passed that doesn't include central services, and it's insane. And I really do hope. I'm glad to hear there are some programming changes and other initiatives being undertaken to hopefully bring up revenue in New York. Obviously, that's what everyone wants to see. But I'm not comfortable just approving a budget that doesn't contemplate the payment of these necessary fees. So that being said, I would like to see it somehow represented in the budget, and I know it's hard to predict. I mean, I don't know that car donations are going to dramatically increase your revenue. We only get a little bit for them out here in California where everybody drives. So, but I hope all these things. I would like to ask, has the fulfillment issue in New York been resolved? Is that no longer a problem affecting your revenue?
It's increasing.
Okay. Well, I need fulfillment from our end. Are we fulfilling people's, you know, requests?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's
okay. And it's being reflected in increased
This is also kind of a two-way sword, because what's happening is, as we are fulfilling all those premiums and premiums that were past due, we're
right.
sending money.
Okay.
Mailing, and even though we're saving money in our mailing by, you know, by subcontracting and bulk mailing, but we're still sending a lot more money because we are also mailing premiums from last year that were never sent out, so we're sending a lot more money.
You're sending more money on the premium and to fulfill.
And on mailing them, yeah.
Okay.
That's a sign of success, but also that's a problem because we're losing our cash.
Sure. Okay. But at least it may help to improve the to reinvigorate the loyalty of the listener base because they're
yeah.
having their pledges honored.
Additionally, whenever there's a major problem, you know, the final this content call comes to me directly, the IGM, so the people feel a little more empowered that they're talking to me and they can yell at me. But I'm not going to do that much longer because it's kind of taxing and takes a lot of time. But however, these are some of the ways we are looking at increasing customer loyalty.
Okay, and what about the electronic installment payments? Have all of those issues been resolved where everything is?
That has been resolved.
Okay, so and what is your fulfillment rate at this point? Do you have figures from your most recent fund drive or the one right before that, where you're at?
Well, the most recent fund drive that makes sense for us was, I believe, hold on. I think that was the May fund drive. The fulfillment rate was really low, and then we brought it up to, 72%? Because that's what I was focusing on, the last fund drive.
Okay.
The last one I heard about, you were...
72.4%.
72, I thought it was more like 73.
Oh,
yeah.
No, but it's being moved upward.
It went from 68,
68.9
or 69.4, something like that, to 72.4 in like 4 months. But we have not focused on that recently because we were in fund drive mode back into that again.
Okay, and I guess a couple of other questions. Is this year's budget projection based on last year's actuals or last year's budget?
Based on last year's actual.
Okay, good.
All budgets based on actual.
I'm sorry?
We're going to talk about that. This is LaVarne. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. That
okay.
all budgets should be based on actual.
Yes, they should, but that's the problem with our budget here at KPFK. It was simply cut and pasted from last year's budget to this year with not a single change to any single category. It literally had no reference to actuals whatsoever, and that's just appalling. So that's why I'm checking. I want to make sure nobody else is having that issue. Okay, and I guess the other question
as a matter of fact, on our budget this year, if you scroll all the way to the left, you will see at least from October to July, we haven't had the time to enter August and September, the actual, so you can compare the last year actuals to the current year budget on that same sheet, on that same budget sheet. Yeah.
Thank you. And how are you resolving the budget shortfall from the most recent fund drive since it's fallen within the new fiscal year? What is the contemplation and adjustment there? How are you adjusting the budget so that it still comes out even?
Which one?
You said that the most recent fund drive came in $125,000 short.
Yeah, the October fund drive. We're going to have a fundraising day on the 15th, and then mostly with Gary Noll. And then we'll see how that works. We're projecting, I don't want to see what we're projecting, but that might reduce our shortfall by 50%, hopefully. And then if that works, then we will probably have another day sometime in December, one or two days in December.
So you're going to plan some little mini drives to make up the difference?
Yeah, a mini drive or maybe a six-hour special here and there, which might be less annoying to the public than a mini drive. So we're trying to analyze them to see what different ways we can have more drive without really having a full day drive and annoying the listeners, you know. So have a 2-hour special or a 6-hour special here and there.
Okay, thank you.
Our fault for strength.
Paul, go ahead, please.
Yeah. Regarding the central services, I think it's proper to basically deal with these things with reality. I mean, if you want to base the budget on actuals, look at the actual central services last year. It's in the vicinity of zero. I think the reality is that if WBAI can recover from various things, that it's going to be able to do maybe central services sometime in the second half of FY11. And I think that we have to put that into the real budget, because otherwise we're going to be budgeting the National Office and the Radio Archives with money they're not going to get, or certainly won't get until the second half of FY11. And I think it would have a cascading effect. It would, you know, mess up their budgets. They should know in reality what they're going to get. And I think we need to deal with the reality of this. The BAI, if things work, will be doing central services to some degree in the second half of FY11. Not going to be doing it very soon. And if things don't go so well, BAI isn't going to be doing central services. And we need to, you know, we need to avoid doing stuff that's been done in the past where we just write down BAI central services or this when, you know, and then everybody doesn't get them, which is a problem. A thing I also want to bring up is we have on this budget 120 days of pitching. Now, the last thon we just had went over by 2 days, and there's another one now scheduled for the 15th. So that, if everything stays on track, that's 123 days. If there's something in December, that's additional there. So, you know, oh boy, we all have to be aware of, you know, bludgeoning the listeners with so much fundraising that they don't listen anymore. So that's all I wanted to say on that.